Hi, this is Ryan Brocco from the Dallas Mavs, and I recommend you buy an NBA Australia t-shirt.
Yeah, NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Tuesday, October 29. I am your host, James Clements. I am a writer for Triple J, Rolling Stone, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to sling me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. That green, baby. That booze money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Breaking down and wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you. Well, repping Australia, just a little bit, mate. It's what we do. All right, so we're going to get stuck into a huge NBA day today. 11 games. We had for the first US Monday of the new NBA season. So that's all going to be covered with the game wraps brought to you by USSportsTickets.com, as well as all the usual dumbassery. That means that's not an iPhone, mate. No, mate. Spud of the night, pantsing the evening, better Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's Yeah Nah, a bit of listener Yeah Nah today as well. The unpopular opinion of the day, and our back takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We've also got the Shane Heal shoot your shot, light him up award. The look at all of the games tomorrow. We've got three games, so we're going to pick and preview for each of those tomorrow. And we're going to finish up with a brand new Joe Ingles HR. Jingles HR is back. Love it. All right, let's get into it. This is NBA Australia episode 343. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. Or you better watch out for the Gallinari attack. The old squirrel punch if you're James Harden. Jesus. And if you're the rest of the NBA, you better watch out for the Phoenix Suns. Jesus. Crazy stuff. And if you're LeBron James, you better watch out for... That's right. Large, exceptionally widespread and huge scale fires. Yep. We're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. With the daily whip around. That's right. LeBron has had to evacuate his house, his family. They've all had to bounce and go, right, shit, along with all the other residents of their Brentwood neighborhood. Evacuated from their place in LA. And it's one of those ones where you're like, oh, shit. LeBron learned that climate change doesn't give a fuck how rich you are, hey? Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's one of those weird ones. And once you have that realization that it fucking sucks to everyone, you're like, oh, yeah, climate change doesn't give a fuck about how rich you are, right? Fires, floods, they don't care how much money you've got. All that money you might have made from mining coal and destroying reefs to make a few extra fucking bucks don't matter if your shit goes up in flames. Fucking hell. Tell you what. Yeah, you can be rich as God. Ain't gonna matter if there's nowhere to live. All right, what else? Enes Kanter. Enes the penis. He fucked up. Posted an Instagram story of his horrible Celtic City jerseys. We chucked them up in the old NBA Australia facey. Jesus. The old Boston Celtics. The old Boskin Celtic City Edition jerseys. The old City Edition being the Barling Knockoff City Edition jerseys. They are fucked. I don't know how Boston managed to fuck up their uniforms so often, but they do. Remember those fucking shit-sleeved ones? It's grey. You're like... You know what never looks good? And this one, obviously, with my bugbears, if you've ever listened to this fucking show, like, on any sort of regularity, I hate fucking grey uniforms. There's an entire fucking colour palette, and you're going to go with fucking grey, the most boring of fucking colours, you arsehole. Anyway, that's not the point. Look, Celtics, all you literally need to do, you have one of the single greatest colour schemes in sport. And if you're going to make it the City Edition, just make it a different green and gold, or green and like yellowish stuff, or those sick black ones with the green. It doesn't matter, the white with the yellow. It does. Ah, it's easy, you fuckheads. Anyway, what else? That was about it in terms of news. There wasn't a giant amount of sort of stuff going on otherwise in, like, you know, news circles, I guess. So really, let's get into a wild day of game wraps, because we had a big day of revenge games. We had Russ and Harden versus OKC, Bobby Portis versus Chicago, we had Delly versus Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. LaMarcus and Patty versus Portland. Good stuff. So let's get stuck into the game wraps today, brought to you by USSportsTickets.com. Don't screw around. If you're going to the States and you want to go to an NBA or NFL or, well, you're probably going to run out of time for baseball games. Anyway, go to USSportsTickets.com. They'll sort you out. They're amazing. Love them. Support the ledgers who support us. All right. 11 games. We're going to fly through these because we're late today because I look after the squid full-time on Tuesdays. So I'm recording a little bit later. So let's just crush this, get it out. Let's do the damn thing. Indiana. They played the Detroit Basketball Pistons and lost in an embarrassing 96-94 outing. That's right, 96-94 Detroit win. Indy shot 41% overall, 6 of 21 from 3. El Presidente Malcolm Brogdon, 5 of 17 from him. 15 points, 11 assists, sure. Souvlaki, king. Tomatis Sabonis. Oh, yeah, thanks, Tomatis. I'll just have the combo meat. Easy on the tomatoes, extra garlic sauce. And maybe a bit of extra lettuce. Thanks, mate. 21 points, 14 rebounds. He was awesome. Everybody else was kind of like, eh. Miles Turner had 16-5. TJ Warren had the usual 19 TJ Warren points, a.k.a. empty 9 of 22 points, right? 9 of 22 shooting, rather. 1 of 3 from 3, 5 rebounds, nothing else. They only had 18 points from the bench in Indy. TJ McConnell, Justin Holiday. You know, Dougie McBuckets, just brutal. Come on, man, what are you doing? Thad Buckets. I mean, he's off in Chicago now, and you can't rely on, like, these other dudes, apparently. So, Indy kept losing games. It's weird. Dougie McBuckets played 14 minutes and didn't bother the scorers. Gotta live up to your name, Dougie. 0 of 2. What are you doing, mate? Detroit, 81 total shots versus 94 for the Pacers. That's 20 turnovers to 7 for you, but they still win. Absolutely wild. Andre Drummond with 18 and 18, and 2 blocks and 6 turnovers. Jesus, this game sucked. Luke Kennard, the Duckman. Quack, quack. 14 points. Oh, geez. Our Lord and Savior, though, Christian Wood, 19 and 12, 8 of 10 shooting, 3 of 3 from downtown. He was awesome. And D Rose tried his hardest to give this game away, 4 of 16 shooting, but they overcame that. 10 points, 6 assists, 4 turnovers for him. Detroit eked this one out. Indy just can't get over the hump. They're 0 and 3, Pistons, 2 and 2. Chicago, they went to New York and shit the bed in epic fashion. Knicks win. First game they've won this season, 105-98. Knicks scored 15 straight points late in the fourth quarter to win it. Absolutely fucking bananas. And that was it. That's all she wrote. 15 straight points to finish the game. Chicago shit the bed like fucking the little boy did this afternoon. Well, he didn't really shit the bed. He just had a... Oh, Jesus Christ, that nappy. Tell you what. This was the Bobby Portis game. Hit the go-ahead 3 with a minute 47 left, and it was just all fucking over. The old revenge! For fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world. Amazing stuff. The Knicks to beat Chicago in New York for their first win of the season is pretty crazy. Chicago just shit the bed, though, as mentioned. Lowry, that's a girl's name, Mark, and an 18 and 6 for him, 5 of 13 shooting. Bit of an kind of start for Mark, and had a good first game and hasn't been great since. Wendell had 20 and 10. Zachy Cakes Levine had 21 and 5, 8 of 18 shooting, though, 2 of 7 from deep. Chris O'Dunn stunk up the joint, 1 of 6 shooting for him. And Cody White, look, he's a rookie. I wouldn't mind to see a little bit more of him just, you know, doing more. You know, ups and downs, though, you get that on the big jobs. 2 of 5 for 5 points for him. The Knicks, look, 17 turnovers to 9, but somehow won. Do you know how? 20 fucking 5 offensive rebounds. Absolutely wild scenes there in New York. I guess this is one of the advantages of having 87 fucking power forwards on your goddamn roster. That's right. You get a lot of offensive rebounds. RJ Barrett had 6. Randall had 7. Mitch Robinson 6. 4 for fighting Bobby Portis. Even Kevo Knox got in there with 1, and so did Alfred Payton. But they out-rebounded Chicago 63-38. And look, you can kind of see the method to their madness. If we have all the power forwards in the league, we can get all the rebounds. But Jesus. Anyway, 15 straight points. They win this game. Absolute scenes. Awesome stuff. Fighting Bobby Portis. Fighting around the world. 28 points off the bench. 10 of 14 shooting. 4 of 4 from downtown. 11 rebounds. 2 blocks. He was awesome. RJ Barrett was amazing too. 19 and 15. Julius Randle had 13 points on 13 shots. 14 rebounds though. 14 for Noxie. Frankie Smokes stunk. 0-6 for him, but there you go. The Knicks on the board. All those Knicks fans out there, got to be happy with that. My buddy Pat, in fact, messaged me and went, "Knicks are on the board, baby." It's like, yeah, in ridiculous fashion. Anyway, Bulls are 1-3, so the Knicks. Orlando went into Toronto, and Toronto beat them 104-95. Lowry leading the Raps home in the fourth quarter, 10 points in the fourth there. Orlando shot 38.2% for this game. Toronto shot 38.8. I don't know if that's a 9-point difference, but still, I think it'd be a little bit more. Johnny Isaac, he was good. Seriously. No, that was awesome. Good on him. Johnny Isaac shot the lights out from downtown, 5-7, had 24 points, 7 rebounds. On you, Johnny. Don't Google me, Fournier at 18. As a Aaron Gordon was more like Air Gronk, 1-6 for 2 points, 3 turnovers. Yeesh. Markelle Fultz, 6-11, shooting for 13 points and hit a 3. Nice one. For Toronto, Siakam at 24-9. Lowry, 26-5-6. He's had a great start to the year. Fred VanVleet from the Fightin' Van Vleets had an amazing move. Crossed up a motherfucker. It's like, oh, shit, watch out. Here we go. Breaks Fultz's ankles. Jewels of 3. Didn't do shit else for the rest of the game. Legendary. The bench shot 5-19 for Toronto. They're cruising along. They're 3-1. Orlando, 1-2. The Philadelphia 76ers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 76ers, 105 will beat Atlanta, 103 in a win that they did not deserve at all. Got ahead late thanks to fouls and Embiid hitting free throws after Atlanta tied it up with a John Collins. That's a total cocktail, tipping in a missed Trey free throw. Vince Carter misses the game winner at the buzzer. Absolutely fucking crazy. Philly just played like shit for a lot of this game and somehow won. Atlanta are fun, man. 42%. They shot 9 of 27 from 3. 21 turnovers. That sort of killed them. Trey had 25 points, 9 assists, 9 of 20 shooting. Blanketed on the last possession when they were down 2, though. So a lot of respect put on that Trey Young name. John Gullens, that's a total cocktail. 16-8. DeAndre Hunter was really good. 14 points and 9 rebounds for him. 4 turnovers, 4 of 8 shooting, 2 of 4 from deep. He looks the goods. He's just big. I like him. Bruno Fernandez, 11 and 4. Cam Reddish, 2 of 7 shooting. Jabari Parker, 2 of 7 shooting. So a couple of miscues there really sank Atlanta. There were different parts where they're like, ooh, we could put a bit of the old foot on the throat of the Sixers, and it just didn't quite happen. Bembry did a little bit of damage, but yeah, look, Atlanta, they're sneaky deep. They're sneaky good. There's a lot of young, fun players on this team, and that's why they're in the NBA Australia season preview as a young, dumb, full of run and gun. Amazing stuff. But look, they should have won this, and you kind of think that in a year or two they would have. Just the lack of experience down the stretch kind of hamstrung them a little bit. Philly, Embiid, and Horford were great. Horford's like stat line was like 5-9 and 4 blocks and 2 assists. But he sort of just does a lot of smart shit. You forget it sometimes. Embiid was awesome. 36-13-5. We're going to talk about him later. Tobias Harris, the never nude Tobias. 13 points on 16 shots. Simo had a 13-6-6. 6 of 11 shooting, but 4 turnovers and 4 fouls with the third quarter. Not a great game. Richo. Josh Richardson, he had 14 on 14. Tybull started off great guns. Had 5 points in the first quarter. Then ended up 2 of 8 shooting, 2 of 7 from downtown. 9 for Shake Milton. Mike Scott fouled out. Well, not fouled out, but he got kicked out for a, I want to say, pretty fucking piss weak second tech. Jesus. Gross. Anyway, but this is the thing with Philly. They're deep enough that only one of their big names has to go great guns and have a pretty good game, and they can eke out a win with everyone else slightly off. So Philly 105, Atlanta 103, Hawks 2-1, Sixers 3-0, looking the goods. Winning shit games like that is pretty important, I think, in the long term. And it's also, you know, during the regular season, if you win those shit games where you're kind of shit, one of your dudes plays well, you're in good stead. Speaking of which, Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land, hosted the Cleveland Cavaliers, 129-112. They end up winning. Amazing stuff. This was weirdly closer than you think, but a big second quarter, consistency across the third meant that Milwaukee sort of just ended up running away with it. Kevin Love, 15-16. Tristan, get me out of here. Thompson had 17-13. 18 for the sex man. Clarkson had 17 off the bench. Nance had 15-8 as well. 9 on 4 of 11 shooting for Darius Garland, though. I don't know. I still like him. He's very quick. Milwaukee shot 52%. Giannis had a pretty quiet night, 14 points and 5 of 15 shooting. And you're like, oh, it's pretty good. It's like, yeah, you didn't have to really go into absolute fucking murder level Giannis, you know, which was pretty good, I guess. Good news for him was that he didn't foul out of this game. So first time for everything. Middleton had 21 and 8, 16 for Lopez, hit 3 threes, 14s each for Bledsoe and Wes. Georgie Hill had 19, Pat Connaughton had 17, the bench smoked it. Cavs are 1 and 2, Bucks 2 and 1. Golden State got on the board, 134 winners in New Orleans over the Pelicans. They were the Pelicans tonight, 123, and they've been the Pelicans for all of their games, actually. They're sneaky, 0-4. But Golden State absolutely smoked him in the second and third, and that was all she wrote. It was a laugher from then on. Pelicans still shot 46%, but let Golden State shoot 49%. Not ideal. Spindles Ingram out there just getting work done. 10 and 23 for 27 points. 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. On your Spindles. Alonzo had 12 and 9. 4 of 10 shooting, though. Jackson Hayes got out there. 19 points, 3 rebounds. He was awesome. Kendrick Williams at 16. Nick Alexander-Walker, 15 points, 9 assists. He was good, too. They might get mentioned later. Golden State with their first win of the year. Got to feel pretty good about that. Steph had 26, 9 of 17 shooting. D'Angelo had 20. Steph also had 11 assists. D'Angelo had 8 assists and 24 points. Pretty good. 9 of 21 shooting, though. That's the D'Angelo fucking experience, isn't it? Draymond, though, chucked in a triple-double. And I believe the Golden State Warriors are 28 and zip when he's had a triple-double. 16 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. He was a plus 36. Fucking crazy. Damian Lee chucked in 23 points off the bench. Oh, yeah, not bad, Damian. On you, mate. Damian! Can you, like, score some more points, mate? Damian Lee. Going crazy, mate. Going crazy. You figure that he's 27. Yeah, so I'm not, you know, that impressed. Little big dog, Glenn Robinson, the third at a 12 and 9. And old Jordan Poole had a bit of a rough start to the season, did Jordan? But was okay tonight. 4 of 10 for 13 points. Had been on an absolute Barry Crocker shocker. Oh, yeah. He had gone, 3 of 22 up until this point today. So at least for the year, he's now 7 of 32. So that's a little bit better. It's 21%. Good job. What else? Paschal, the other rookie at 8, 2, and 3. But there you go. Warriors 1 and 2 finally get a win. Pelicans 0-4 for the season, as mentioned. A bit sneaky bad. OKC went into Houston. Rockets win it 116-111. This was a wildly entertaining game, apart from all the shitty fucking free throws. God damn. OKC out, rebounded the Rockets 52-40, but couldn't win this. Shai Redder, Gilgeous Alexander, 22-9 for him. CP3. You're just like, oh yeah, sometimes you have games where you're like, that motherfucker is old. 15 points, 4 assists, 6 turnovers. Couldn't do shit. Danilo Gallinari had 17 on 17. Had a great move. We're going to talk about that later. T-Ferg can't get going at all this year. 19 minutes, one shot, a minus 25. He's gone from being bullied by Westbrook to being bullied by CP3 now. Nerlens Noel had 15. German Rondo, I'm Dennis Schroeder, had 22. He was awesome. And the fact that you wasted a good Schroeder game is just fucking wild to me. But anyway, Houston couldn't buy a three in this at all. It was just gross shooting from Houston all round. For the game, they shot 43%, but 10 of 44 from three. Ew. Harden had 40. We'll talk about him later. Rusty, 21, 12, and 9. Looked pretty good against his old team, to be honest. It's a lot of nifty moves. PJ Tucker went 5 of 7 from deep on his way to 17 points, 9 rebounds. Clint Capella at 15 and 7, getting shoved out of the road for rebounds by Westbrook, which is funny. And Eric Gordon, 1 of 7 from 3. He's been bad to start the year. 6 of 28 from 3 in 3 games. Jesus. Anyway, Thunder, 1 and 3, which I kind of feel like is the perfect start. They look pretty good, but they keep losing. I mean, where are you going to go? You need another high draft pick next year. That's great. Make sure that CP3 looks the goods. Trade him for more shit. Away you go. Rockets, 2 and 1. Another fun-ass game, the San Antonio Spurs beating, eventually, the Portland Trailblazers. This was a fucking laugher for a lot of it. And then Portland out of nowhere came storming back. 113-110. Spurs eke it out. There was 15 straight from the Blazers. Got this all the way back. Dame scored 18 consecutive points for the Blazers and then had a chance to tie it up. He missed. They got the rebound. Anthony Tolliver, a.k.a. John Sally in the Whoopi Goldberg movie Eddie, missed a three, then to DeRozan there. His stupid clutchness just fucking... He missed a shot earlier in the last minute with 10 seconds left on the shot clock. Barely grazed the rim. DeMar is not good. The Blazers somehow got two chances to tie it up again at the very end of the game. And damn, that game-tying buzzer beater that he threw in from the corner was in. It was in. It was in. It was in. And then it wasn't. San Antonio win, 113-110. Absolute scenes. Portland. Dame had 28 on 28 shots, but 9 on 28. 18 consecutive points. Are you fucking kidding me? It's insane. He was so good. That last quarter was absolutely wild. It was basically Dame versus Derek White, which was fucking nuts and awesome. And DeJounte Murray wasn't in for a lot of this as well. And Pop said after the game that, hey, man, he's on a minutes restriction. Like, one game's not going to matter in the long fucking run for this guy. He's either on a minutes restriction or he's not. I'm like, fuck yeah. Way to go, Pop. Spud Hood had 11. Simons and Scalabissi had 10 each. 8 and 7 for Wingen Hassan Whiteside. The 24 minutes. Considering that San Antonio don't really have, like, I don't know, a center. It just really goes to show that, like, that's how fucking up and down Hassan Whiteside is and how tough it is to root for that guy. I'm sure we'll have PDX Pete on here soon just going, this guy fucking sucks. Tell you what. San Antonio, Derek White had 21. LaMarcus Aldridge, not much of a revenge game. He had 15. Patty Mills had 12, though. He looked good. Looked really good at times, but, you know, was actually outscoring Dame there for a while. Forbes had 14. DeRozan had 27 points, 7 rebounds, 0 assists. And as mentioned, down in the clutch. Bit of a head scratcher. Anyway, Blazers 2-2 now for the season. Spurs 3-0. What a fun game that was, though. It was nuts. Speaking of fun games, Denver eke out a win against Sacramento 101-94. The Kangs. Speaking of weird teams who are under the radar shit this year, we yelled about them yesterday, but Denver win this 101-94. Denver shot like shit, but somehow hung on to win this, which was just bonkers. Came down to the wire after they got up. Which was nice. And it's nice to see that Sacramento still have some fight after a bunch of blowouts. But it's nice to have fight, but you've also got to hit shots. Sacramento didn't do that. It was a bit of a rough one, I'll tell you. So it was just a rough one all round, though. The Nuggets shot 36.7% and the Kangs, shot 39.6%. Gross. But still, look. For the Sacramento, Diazza had 20 points, 9 assists. Buddy Hield fucking sucked all game. Then hit a couple of shots late, but finished 2 of 13 and 1 of 6 from 3. They actually wiped off a 3 of his where there was also a foul. Could have been a very, very important 4-point game that would have brought them back within 2, the old Kings, but wasn't quite there. The foul came just a split second before the ball left Hield's kind of hand. He was in the shooting motion. I don't quite get that fucking rule sometimes. Anyway, Rashawn Holmes was amazing. He dunked straight over the top of Will the Thrill Barton. He had 24 and 12 with 2 blocks and just, yeah, killed Will the Thrill. Denver, they shot 36-1, which is pretty 36%, and that's pretty impressive if you win a game when you're shooting 36%. Jam and Jamal had 18, only bloke getting anything going. He hit a very nice mid-ranger in the last minute to keep them up 5, I think it was. Gary Harris, the dartsman, he popped up with 17 on 5-9 shooting. And the Yoka, Nikola Jokic, hello, 9-13-2 on 4-15 shooting. A bad night for him, which again is pretty weird considering that Sacramento, like, their center is basically Rashawn Holmes. And not putting the fear of fucking God into anyone is he. And Dwayne Dedmon had 4 fouls in 17 minutes. That's the Dwayne Dedmon experience I know and love. So the Kangs are 0-4. Sneaky horrible, and the Nugs 3-0. Not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad. They just keep eking these weird, shitty games out, Denver. And again, similar to the Sixers, if you do that, that's good standing for the rest of the year. All right. Oh, Jesus. I'm getting puffed. Utah. They beat, speaking of fucking weirdly close games, Utah 96 in Phoenix just beat the Suns 95. 96-95. Wild finish. Utah, look, they sucked all game. At halftime, the Jazz actually had more turnovers and fouls than made shots. They had 15 turnovers, 14 fouls, and 12 made shots, and still led. Ugh, what a gross game this was. But anyway, this was tied. Last few seconds, Donovan Mitchell drives the lane. gets bailed out by a call, hits one of the free throws, 0.4 seconds left. Frank the Tank can't hit the fucking crazy launch arc, you know, at the buzzer. It's weird. I feel like when he was fouled, there should have been a little bit more time on the clock. The refs didn't fucking look at it and fix it, which is...
they may have been betting on it, just saying.
Anyway, bangers out there, shit-talking jingles. That was great. Ah, just a couple of Boomers teammates going back and forth. Classic stitch-up. But it was great. Phoenix, Rubio was back for this. He had 10-10 and 8 assists. Devin Booker had 21. Oubre is good. He had 18. And bangers, absolutely smashing. 3 of 3 from downtown. He was awesome. 12 points. We'll talk about him later in the Australian Player Watch. Same with jingles. D-Mitch had 25 for Utah. Borjan Bogdanovic had 29 of 8 of 13 shooting. He was really good down the stretch too. Hit a couple of shots and you're like, damn, Borjan takeover. Suns are now 2-2 and look sneaky. Like sneaky good, right? Which is bonkers, but kind of makes a bit of sense. And to be honest, they could be like 4-0. They lose by 1 point to the Jazz and they lost by 1 point to the Nugs. They're literally 2 points away from being 4-0 and leading the West. Anyway, final game, Charlotte. They went into the Clippers on a back-to-back in LA. They were never going to win this and they did not. 111 for the Clips, 96 to Charlotte. Weirdly close for most of this game, actually, until the third quarter where Charlotte just had that, what was it, one oak effect kick in. End of the third quarter, start of the fourth, where they just ran out of gas and suddenly it was a 17-point lead for the Clippers. Hornets did come back a little bit, 11-2 run, but Clips closed it out. Trez and Lou Will smoked him. For Charlotte, Terry Rozier had 17. Cody Zeller had 14 and 13, the accountant. Clippers, Kawhi had 37 and 6. Lou Will had 23. Trez had 8 of his 19 points in the fourth quarter. He was cooking, and Sham Wow chucked in 16 as well. Hornets 1-3. Your Los Angeles Clippers are 3-1. Nice one. All right, I'm going to take a quick break and then come back with the NBA Australia Awards for today. Whew, a lot of good stuff going on. We'll be back in just a second, right after this.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Hey, it's Jimmy. How you going? Look, yes, if you're like me, you're sick of hearing your favorite podcasts being broken up by ads for ticketing sites that are in US dollars and cost an arm and a leg, and you convert the prices and it just sucks. So that's what makes USSportsTickets.com so good. Yes, there's a ripper Aussie site that specializes in sorting you out with tickets to all sorts of US sports, and they're called USSportsTickets.com. They do exactly what they say on the tin. And with the NBA season just tipped off, mate, what are you waiting for? If you're going to the States and you want to get a ticket to an NBA game, NFL game, whatever, just get around USSportsTickets.com. And you know what I really hate about those podcasts that are like, you know, flogging other ticketing sites and junk? They then spell out the URL. Mate, it's USSportsTickets.com. Simple as. Come on, man. All right, and the best bit is as well, look, there's a couple of best bits there. They've got great tickets to all the major US sports for the first one. Secondly, they're Aussie-owned and operated, so their customer service is legit unreal. It's 24/7, so if you've got any hassles, they sort you out quick smart. Third, it's easy as to use because it comes in Aussie dollars, and it looks $1 million, but the Aussie dollars thing is huge. Because fourth, that means you don't have to do maths when you're planning a trip to the States and want to buy NBA tickets. I hate doing maths when I just want to buy NBA tickets. It's like, oh, this much, and then it's like, oh, no, wait, it's this much, oh, crap. And anyway, more mass. The fifth good thing, enter the code STRAYER. And when you check out, they'll sling you 5% off. How good is that? I love it. All right, so there you go. Support the legends who support us and get around USSportsTickets.com. So go buy your tickets, go to the States, go see Delhi, go see Jingles, go see Big Simo, go see Bangers, smash a tin or 20, get 5% off with the code STRAYER, and you're laughing. USSportsTickets.com. Get around it.
Knife. That's a knife.
Oh, that's right. That is a knife. It is the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night. And how about, I mentioned him earlier, but our Lord and Savior Christian Wood was pretty fucking amazing in that the Detroit game. He was unreal. 19 and 12, 8 of 10 shooting, 3 of 3 from downtown. Not bad for a waved bloke. Jesus. Unreal. Kept Detroit in the game. Fighting Bobby Portis, as mentioned. The Fighting Bobby Portis. Fighting around the world. He's actually appeared on the old NBA Australia pre-performance of the night a couple of times, not just for knocking the absolute shit out of Nikola Mirotic, hello, but also he has random games where he goes absolutely fucking spare, like that kid Allen. That's right. Year fucking nine, I reckon he just loses his shit on the odd occasion, blow its fuse and just start laying about him fucking windmills. Anyway, find Bobby Portis, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 blocks with a revenge game over Chicago. Let's see him do that again in like 15 games time and you just remember, oh yeah, Bobby Portis. Thing is, Portis goes on like these tears where it's like 4 or 5 games of him really being really, really good and you're like, this dude's amazing, and then just doesn't do shit for like a month. James Harden, obviously, with 40 points. He's going to pop up later. Obviously, a really, really good game. They eke out the win over OKC. A lot of free throws, though, so I can't really give that a big approved performance tonight. Because, look, Joel Embiid was right there. 36 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 12 of 19 shooting. I mean, the 2 of 6 is pretty weird from downtown, especially the late one where they really just needed a basket and he sort of got stuck on the perimeter and you're like, Joel, what the fuck are you doing out there? Jesus. Still, they wouldn't have had a fucking hope in this game against Atlanta without him. So why not? He's on the approved performance of the night list. But still, the actual final winning performance of the night has to go to Danilo Gallinari at the start of the third quarter in the Houston OKC game because the Italian Stallion himself whacked James Harden right in the tackle and scones, then dunked over the Swiss cheese himself, Clint Capela. It was amazing. Sure, OKC fucking lost, but that shit was incredible. On you, Gallo. He just goes past Harden, punches him in the old fella. Off you go. Bob's your fucking uncle. Dunks on Clint Capela. Danilo Gallinari. Unbelievable. All right, old mate, no mates.
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 Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? Give me Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. They are fucking done with Cleveland. They're just like out there chucking down double-doubles nightly, just also being like, you want us to pass the ball? Nah, fuck you kids. We've got shit to do, i.e. get the fuck traded out of Cleveland. It's pretty fun and good on them. I'd be doing the exact same thing. Just saying. And also, you could almost say that Shireta Gilgeous-Alexander, in terms of old mate, no mates, he's out there crushing it so far this year. Chris Paul just turning into fucking Spud Paul over there out of nowhere. And you're like, come on, man. Shireta is just throwing down lazy. He's averaging 24 points a game. Almost 7 rebounds. It's absolutely crazy. He is awesome. And not getting much love from the rest of the OKC team. So a bit of old mate, no mates for him there. What about Spud of the night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Look, Ben Simmons could be on this. I mean, but Jimmy, his stat line was okay. 13, 6, and 6, a steal and a block. 4 turnovers, though, and 4 fouls very, very quickly. He just looked really out of sorts. I don't know if it was the Atlanta nightlife or something, but damn, he played 38 minutes. And early on was just, I don't know, kind of discombobulated, doing some weird shit. It was like a foul, a turnover, another foul, another turnover. You're like, what the fuck is happening to Simo? I mean, get some sleep, mate. Holy shit. Yeah, that was a tough one. But I'm not going to give him spot of the night. He still played pretty okay, especially down the stretch. He was good. D-Rose, as mentioned, tried his hardest to give that Detroit win away. 4 of 16 from the floor. 6 assists, 4 turnovers. Frankie Smokes, though, for the Knicks. Against Chicago, 0 of 6 in 22 minutes, 0 of 4 from 3, 3 turnovers, 2 assists. Ouch. Frankie Smokes, what are you doing, mate? Oh, I am just trying to, how you say, be pretty good at basketball. Well, you're not, mate. JJ Redick, 1 of 10 in the Pelicans' loss. That's some good tanking. Thanks, JJ. And then I mentioned him earlier, but Buddy Hield. Oh, Jesus. What are you doing, buddy? Come on, buddy. Hey, buddy. Buddy, buddy, buddy. Buddy, 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 buddy. 2 of 13 for Buddy. Pretty brutal, too. Yeah. But anyway, a lot of sputting, but a lot of good performances today. Weird one. All right, pantsing of the night. Chicago, mate, I can't take you Yahoo serious if you're out there losing the fucking Knicks, who are basically the Mr. Accident of the NBA. Added to that is a bad beast, of which the likes you would never, ever likely seen, that was sent to Muggins over here through the old NBA Australia social medias. And this one hurts. This one hurts you right in the fucking gullet. Old mate messaged me going, next winners and losers segment on the old weekend. yeah, the old weekend winners and losers. He wants to be at the top of the old losers fucking segment, does our man Brody, because the Chicago Bulls, they may have thrown that game. 15 points straight they give away at the very end of it to just shit the bed completely. 10-point lead, 3 minutes to go. It's all over. 15 points straight they give up. Lose it. Poor fucking Brody has an 11-leg multi-bet at $65.81 to win. He had a $10 stake. 11 legs. Every other part of this fucking multi hit. Detroit at 204 for the win. Philly for the win. Raps at the win. Warriors on the win. Bucks on a win. Houston on a win. Spurs win. Jazz win. Nuggets win. Clippers win. And we've got some amazing scrapes here as well. The Nuggets winning, the Jazz winning, the Spurs winning. All heartbreaking. In your fucking fist in your mouth. Oh shit, are they going to pull this out? The Sixers too. And you're thinking, oh, the Bulls beating the Knicks. They're up 10 in the fourth. Here we go. Laughing. Nah. 11 leg multi out the fucking window because the Bulls shit the bed. Brody, I feel your pain, homie. That is fucking brutal, mate. And that is a panting and a half, Chicago. What the fuck? There is, look, you know me. I've yelled a lot about Jim Boylan being fucking shithouse. But you can't be a fucking NBA coach and be an NBA team and shit the bed that expertly. Holy crap. Anyway, so there you go. Brody, feel your pain. Sympathy to you. That is just gross, isn't it? Gross. All right, finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. That's right. As long as coming for everybody means restructuring Big Baller Brand so we don't get sued because we're bankrupt. Anyway, Lonzo Ball today, 12-9, 4 of 10 shooting, 2 of 6 from 3, 2 turnovers, 4 rebounds. Better than Lonzo Ball today were his own teammates. That's right, Jackson Hayes. He was absolutely unreal. And I got a bit of time for the old Jackson Hayes. Watched a little bit of him in summer league. And like, holy shit. Dude is an absolute fucking beast. Which is pretty good. But still, dude played 24 minutes, went 9 of 11 from the floor for his 19 points, 3 rebounds. Absolutely fucking crazy. The best part is, this was his first actual game. Jackson Hayes in his debut. 9 of 11 from the floor, 24 minutes, 19 points, 3 rebounds. That was awesome. Not to be outdone, though. Outdone. Nickeil Alexander-Walker and old mate Kenny Williams. Kenrick Williams. Holy shit. Also both better than Lonzo Ball. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals and a block for Kenrick Williams. 6 of 10 shooting, 3 of 6 from downtown. That's far better than Lonzo. And Nickeil Alexander-Walker, 6 of 11 shooting, also better than Lonzo. 2 of 4 from downtown, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, and 15 points. Just saying, when you're getting outplayed by your teammates who are rookies, Lonzo, mate, better pack it all in. As mentioned earlier, DeAndre Hunter was really good too, 14-9 for him. He's just good. But also, the real big better than Trae Young, Lonzo Ball for today. It's not better than Trae Young anymore because he's fucking good. RJ Barrett. We just talked about the Knicks and how they ruined old mate Brody's fucking 11-leg multi, but Jesus. 19 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists. The only other teenager in NBA history, at least, with a 19-15-5 is LeBron James. So, look, I'm not saying Knicks fans, you've got LeBron, but RJ Barrett is, at least today, better than Lonzo Ball. All right, we'll be back with Yeah Nah right after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Got drunk and bought a Mitch Creek jersey on the weekend. Should have asked him for one. Well, I mean, every time he's been on the show, I've asked him for one, but it was one of the Brooklyn ones. So I went and bought a Phoenix jersey. Might go to the United Phoenix game this week. What do you reckon? Sound good? Anyway, yeah, look, so today's Yeah Nah. We're going to take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether they're more Yeah or more Nah. And they are brought to you by listeners, readers, friends, general internet weirdos. I love your guts. Yeah, because I look after the squid, you know, all day Tuesdays and Thursdays. Basically, when he's not in daycare, I've got him full time, right? So, yeah, the Tuesday and Thursday shows will probably be a bit later than the other ones. I'm going to try to knock them out while before I have to go pick him up, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, yeah, so I'm going to have to lean on the old voices out there, not instead of the ones inside my head. Andy Nordoff, he asked at Naughty 15, will the Mavs put Rowdy out there sometime soon? Yeah, nah. Look, they will, because their shooting is fucking shithouse. They'll end up trading Tim Hardaway Jr. because they realize he fucking sucks. And then I reckon we'll see a bit of a Rowdy sort of hitting the floor. It's also, I don't know, it's one of those things where Rick Carlisle doesn't trust young players and stuff, even though Rowdy's 28 or something like that. But he's obviously a player that they're looking at and going, all right, well, what can we get Rowdy to do that isn't just like launch threes? And thing is, they've also got a pretty crowded rotation, right? Luka, he flips anywhere between point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward. But then you got Jalen Brunson, Seth Curry, Tim Hardaway Jr., Justin Jackson, Courtney Lee, Dorian Finney-Smith can play small forward. So you've got Rowdy sort of sitting along there too going, oh shit, it'd be nice if I got some minutes. But look, none of those guys can shoot as well as Rowdy, so he'll get some shine. Don't worry about it, I reckon. At Connor No One asks, with bangers going 3-3 today, is it time to recognize our new unicorn god? Yeah, nah. I mean, as I said to Connor, yeah, nah, usually as a conceptual basis where I might conceivably say nah. So I don't know if this is a good yeah, nah question, but I've, you know, yeah, nah, of fucking course. Fucking oath, mate. Bangers shooting over 50% from three was inevitable. Fouling out is absolutely fucked. I think that's like at least two games where he's fouled out. And probably, if I could be bothered, I'd go through and show how it's just anti-Australian bias on each of them. Yeah, he's fouled out of two games already in four so far. Fuck me. That is brutal. Absolute bullshit. But anyway, bangers is the absolute all-round package. Dropping threes, laying wood, setting screens, dunking on fools, talking shit to Joe Ingles. It's great stuff. At Winton asked, after their win today, will the Warriors go 80-2 on the season? Yeah, nah. I mean, until they lose again, it's in play. But nah, because this team is fucking shit. Steph's good. Draymond's good. The rest of the roster is an absolute fucking shit show. Just saying. Finally, at JJ Dynamite 1, will Trae Young lead the league in scoring at year's end? Oh, love this one. Yeah, nah. Look. Yeah, nah, maybe. Yeah? It comes down to opportunity. Him, Devin Booker, Giannis, obviously Harden and co. It's weird. And actually, Kyrie as well, right? So the dudes who basically have the green light to shoot whenever the fuck they want, however they want, as many times as they want, will be at the top of the list at the end of the year. But it's the dudes like Kyrie, like Trey, like Harden. Well, maybe Harden's really only got two other dudes, you know, fighting in for shots. But it's all about, like, you know, Pascal Siakam and co. Karl Anthony Towns. Like, it's basically the dudes who are the primary scorers don't have other dudes really taking away too many shots that be the ones that get up there. And Trey fits so perfectly there because this Atlanta team is just good enough to be in a lot of games. So he's going to be playing all the fucking time. And the other guys on that team aren't quite polished enough scorers yet to really be the sort of Klay Thompson sort of dude who takes away, you know, 15, 17 shots a game. So Trey is just going to be out there launching it. Like, his field goal attempts at the moment, 22 a game. And I reckon they stay around that for the fucking year. Like, it makes sense, right? And Karl Anthony Towns is pretty similar. Giannis is interesting. I reckon we'll see him sort of skyrocket a bit. He's only shooting 17.7. He hasn't started off, you know, in his usual efficient sort of way, but yeah, I feel like Trey, Devin Booker, Kyrie, the guards who can just go unconscious, they'll be right up there. But at the same time, Trey might be still prone to, like, you know, cold snaps. Same with Kyrie, same with Booker, but look, no one's going to tell them fucking boo, so they'll be right up the top at the end of the year. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I kind of like the coach's challenge. Everybody's complaining about it. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. It just throws a weird wrinkle. What they do need, like, I like the concept of the coach's challenge, but they need to be so fucking quick and they can't. I don't know what the fuck is going on with the NBA and the NFL, but every time someone challenges something, we apparently then have to spend the next fucking 10 minutes fucking twiddling our dicks, just going, what the fuck? I don't know. Maybe from a different angle. I still reckon that all challenges and all that sort of shit should be looked at in game speed and not slow-mo, you know? So it's basically the same call that you would have made on the field. You go, look at that. Oh, fuck. Was that a catch? Was it not? I don't know. Did he step out of bounds? I think so. Yep, cool. And just be done with the fucking thing. It's not rocket surgery. Just do it like that. But anyway, I like the coach's challenge, especially because the coaches are trying to figure out how the fuck it works, which is good. All right, Outback Takeouts. It's Tuesday here at Outback, and you know what that bloody well means. Cassowary Casserole Tuesdays. That's right. We lost 17 good men trying to bring this fucker down, but we got him, and he tastes fucking delicious. So get in to your cassowary casserole only at Outback. And today's flame-grilled take at Outback Takehouse is Aaron Baines becoming the best center in the NBA was inevitable after he played in the World Cup, because the World Cup bump is real, and Aaron Bangers Baines is now the greatest center the NBA has seen or will ever see. Only at Outback. Well, as long as he stops failing out of games. All right, Australian Player Watch coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Yeah, it was a good question about radio, though, wasn't it? Yeah, I love that. It's been great to have him on the show. He's out there telling you to buy a t-shirt at the start of every episode until our Kickstarter ends, which is in 2 days. So if you haven't bought a t-shirt, go do that. Kickstarter.com, search for NBA Australia. Away you go. All right, Australian Player Watch, Big Simo Ben Simmons in the win over Atlanta. I mentioned that he made our spot of the night list, but 13-6-6 with a steal and a block. 4 turnovers, though. 6-11 shooting, not bad. 4 fouls by the third quarter. I had to sit a bit. But he was all right down the stretch, but I don't know. He plays a good game, and then he plays a game where he can be taken out of the game a little bit too easily, and it's against Atlanta, who have got a bunch of inexperienced wings. Like, Simo should be tearing him up. So, but anyway, pretty good game. Good on him. 13-6-6. Nothing to sneeze at. Speaking of which, son of Bruce, Jonah Bolden would kill to be getting a 13-6-6 in any game at the moment, because, yeah, still hasn't gotten onto the floor so far this NBA season. Rough as guts, mate. Rough as guts. What else? Jingling Joe Ingles in the win over the Suns. Came off the bench again for 26 minutes. Only 3 points, though. Jingles is off to a rough start to this year. 1 of 6 shooting, 1 of 5 of which were from downtown. 9 rebounds, though. 5 assists, 1 steal, 3 turnovers. Rough game for everybody on the Jazz, though, and the Suns. So, Dante Sexum Exum, Kangaroo Kobe himself, is still rehabbing his knee, so he hasn't dressed for that one. King Deli of Maribor, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, King of Canada as well. Lost to Milwaukee, his old team, played 22 minutes, 5 points, 2 of 5 shooting, 0 of 2 from 3. 2 rebounds, 3 assists and a steal, though. 0 of 10 from downtown to start the season for King Deli now. That's pretty brutal. Tough. But anyway, he's out there showing the Sex Man and Darius Garland how to get it bloody well done. Petty Thrills, Petty Mills, win over his old team, the Portland Trailblazers. 21 minutes for him, 12 points. He played a pretty good game. 4 of 8 from the floor, 3 of 6 from downtown, 3 assists, 2 rebounds and a steal. He was good. Missed a shot late where it's like, oh, that could have been the dagger, but, and I fully expected it to go down because of how many times he did it in the World Cup. Kung Fu Thon, 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 Thon in the win over Indiana. Played 10 minutes, but unfortunately had a 0-0-0-0-0-1, which was a steal, and 1 foul. Thon. It's not good enough, mate. If you want to stick around the NBA, just saying. You can't play 10 minutes and get 0-0-0-0-0, 1 steal, 1 foul. Fuck. I mean, look at Aaron Bangers Baines and against, you know, Jingles in Utah today. 3 3-pointers, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 4 of 4 shooting, 3 of 3 from 3, as mentioned, 1 assist, 1 turnover, and those 6 bloody bullshit anti-Strayan fouls. Bastards. Anyway, on your Bangers. And Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, look, Dallas play tomorrow, so he's hoping he gets out there. See how we go. All right, you know what it's time for now? Well, it's Tuesday, so on Tuesday, we're going to do a bit of a Shane Heal shoot a shoot, shoot your shot, light him up award.
He threw it down! Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I am healed. It is the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'Em Up Award, and it goes to James Harden.
Oh, but Jimmy, you just said that James Harden's 40 was pretty shit.
It's like, yeah, look, it was rough to watch, but it was still 40 points, and he still got them the win. And that is his 78th career 40-point game, which breaks a tie with Oscar Robertson. So he's now one shy of tying Allen Iverson for fifth place, which is fucking crazy all time. The other crazy part of the 40 points was he went 8 of 21. So more than half of his 40 came from fucking free throws. I mean, good on him. Points are points. But shit, that game could have been way more fun. Instead, it was that bearded prick on a march to the line all the fucking time. Still, 78 times, career 40-point games. Keeps filling it up, does James Harden. Just like he does at the Rippers when he's not stripping out that strip of glitter out of his beard. But Shane Hill looks on going, oh yeah, 78 40-point games. If you count all mine from the Brisbane Bullets and Geelong Supercats and co, be laughing. Sydney Kings, off we go. So that is some Shane Hill. Shoot a shoot. Shoot your shot. Light him up awards right there. All right, nice one. What about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter Inspiration Board? All right, let's go, Patty Mills. Let's do this. Oh, I love it. Patty Mills out there tweeting is just great. So today he tweeted out, playing with that silver and black passion to grind out some important wins to start the season. Frowning emoji, hashtag, go Spurs, go. There was also a great one where he retweeted a bit of the World Cup footage and said, unfinished business in the green and gold, but nonetheless, definitely got me ready for a season in the silver and black. Hashtag, go Spurs, go. And obviously had the old game day baller game day, hashtag versus Portland, hashtag, go Spurs, go. The Patty Mills inspiration board is unbeaten. Love it. All right, finally, let's get into some game previews and some picks and see how we go today. Well, tomorrow, because today would not go great.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. Are you going to get your legs broke for today's bets?
I really hope not. So, after going 16 of 24 on the with our picks over the weekend, today we went the exact opposite of our mate Brody, who had the Chicago Bulls tripping him up in his 11-leg multi. Today we went the opposite of that and hit one. We hit fucking one of 11. It's remarkable how reverting to the mean works. Fucking hate maths. So for the year, we're 23 of 49 games. So to recap, yesterday we had Indy minus two. They lost by two. So that's a loss. Chicago, we had minus one. That's a loss. Orlando minus 4.5. That's a loss. Philly minus 4. That was a loss. Cavs plus 15.5. Somehow this was a loss because they lost by 15. No, they lost by 17. Fuck. Pels minus 2. They lost. Jesus, that's a loss. Rockets, we had them minus 10. That was a loss because they won by 5. Spurs, we had them by minus 5.5. Was looking good at times, but then Portland came storming back. That was a loss. The one we hit was Denver over Sacramento minus 6. They won by 7. So we only just scraped through with that. Jazz, we had them minus 4.5 over Phoenix. That was a loss. On the Clippers, we had them minus 15.5. And somehow, yeah, that's right, they only won by 15. So fucking hell. Woo! You happy you didn't put much money on this one yesterday? Yeah. Anyway, we're going to try to do better than that tomorrow. So for the year, as mentioned, 23-49 really knocks our stats down a bit. But, you know, the bankroll's still looking pretty healthy. Don't worry about that, man. We'll be all right. All right, let's go look at the odds and everything and make some picks and previews for tomorrow. We do have the Atlanta Hawks on a back-to-back going to Miami. Miami do get Jimmy Butler back for this, and they are 8-point favorites. I feel like the Hawks, Kaká, 8 is a lot. I think Atlanta are pretty good. I think Miami will be good. Atlanta are on a back-to-back, however. It's a tough one, but they're a young team. They might just have an inefficient night. Yeah, this is a tough one. It's a good line. Minus 8 for Miami. I might go with Atlanta. No, Miami. Miami minus 8. Let's do that. I don't feel good about it, though. Jimmy Butler comes back. Maybe it throws a bit of a discombobulation in there. Maybe they look amazing. Shit, that's tough. Killing me. I will take Miami minus 8. Dallas at Denver. Nugs on a back-to-back. Dallas coming in fresh and hot, but they are going into Denver. Got to remember that. To win Dallas at $2.99, they are getting six. I like that. Give me the plus six. Even if the Nugs win this, I think it'll be very close. They're on a back-to-back. Favored by six over a Dallas team that I keep yelling are pretty good. So give me Dallas plus six. And finally, there's only three games tomorrow. That'd be good. Means the show will be out on time. That'd be good. Memphis at the Lakers. The Lakers. Lakers 11.5 point favorites over the Grizz. And I feel like this is an absolute smoking of the Grizzlies. So yeah, give me the Lakers, I think, minus 11.5. Grizzlies, they got their big win over Brooklyn in Memphis at home. I don't think they have anyone, basically, to match up with AD and LeBron James. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., maybe, but come on, mate. Taking the piss at that point. So give me the Lakers. So there you go, Miami minus 8, Dallas plus 6, and the Lakers minus 11.5. That'll move, I reckon, from minus 11.5 to something lower, and I'd take it then. But there you go. Nice one. All right. We're back tomorrow. That's it for today. More dumbassery tomorrow. Should be good. We'll be able to flesh it out a little bit more with only three games. Have some other fun shit in there. Don't worry about that. In the meantime, make sure you've gotten around the NBA Australia Kickstarter. I've got 2 days left. Go to kickstarter.com, search NBA Australia, or just hit up the links on either our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. NBAAustralia.com as well. All that good stuff. Get a t-shirt. And get some cool insider shit this year. When we finally finish this Kickstarter, we'll get some video going. It should be great. Also, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time. You know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, first go to Amazon.com. Before you go to Amazon.com.au, go to NBAAustralia.com. Click on the giant Amazon button. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end if you buy some shit. Check us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. It all helps out heaps. Rate and review, please. That'd be fucking awesome. Love your guts. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, though, House Hats. The debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It is the very best Australian album of the year. I fucking love it. You'll love it, too. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers. For the tunes you heard throughout the show, give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia support Australian bands, and we are debuting a new song tomorrow on NBA Australia. It'll be on the rotation. Great. Awesome. All right, we're going to close it with a brand new episode of Jingles HR, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Luna! Oh, g'day. It's Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR. Yep, when I'm not sinking threes and owning all the real estate in Paul George's head, I run the NBA's most successful HR company. I might look like a HR manager, and I am one. So there you go. Okay, let's get to this week's question. It comes from Al James in Los Angeles. Dear Joe, can I stay with you? Al James, Los Angeles. No, you can't. Sorry, Al James, but our company has a very strict policy about what services we can offer, and residential services fall under the auspices of not my department. I can only offer salient advice, and my advice would be, ask Donovan. All right, that's all we've got time for this week on Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a dog up, yeah.